Okay, Perikut Pasuk Yutes. Perikut Pasuk Yutes. Vayomer al tira ish chamudos shalom loch chazak vachazok. Do not be afraid, ish chamudos, man that is delightful. Peace to you. Be strong, be strong. V'dabru imi, when the Malach spoke to me, his chazakti, he has strengthened me. The Oimra, and I said, Yidaber Adoni, speak my master, ki chizaktoni, you have strengthened me. So again, this continues what we have been discussing so far, where the Malach appears. The Malach here is Gavriel. He appears to Daniel at the end of the 21 days, or the 21 years, depending on which of the Mepharshim you want to accept. Gavriel. Gavriel appears, and Gavriel tells Daniel that I would have come sooner, because Hashem has really answered your prayer the very first moment that you spoke, except that I was all alone. There was no one in heaven that was willing to help me until finally Michael came to assist me. He came to take over, and therefore I was able to free myself and come down here to this world and tell you what's going on. And that took 21 days, corresponding to your 21 days of fasting and mourning, or 21 years according to Rashi. That would change the timeline of when this Samaria appears. And when the Malach comes to Daniel, Daniel is frightened. He's terribly frightened at the image of seeing a Malach, and he shakes and he falls on his panim. And the Malach has to be mechazek him, and he touches him on his knees and the palms of his hand and on his mouth. And then it says in Widon, yes, he touched him just a general touch to be mechazek him, and that's also not enough. So the Malach transforms himself into the appearance of a human being. Instead of appearing to Daniel in the form of a Malach, he appears to him in the form of a human being, and perhaps that will soften the terror, the fear of witnessing this vision. And finally, after everything's said and done here in Prosecutus, finally the Malach says to him, okay, I've touched you, I have transformed myself into a human being, what looks like a human being, there's no more need to be afraid. Altira ish chamudos, and the way he takes away his fright is to give him some honor. It's always good to be mechaved a person. When you mechaved a person, that is the ultimate antidote. When you tell a person you're an ish chamudos, you can disarm the most ferocious enemy by giving them a little kavod. Now here, chas v'shalom, there's no enemy, but it's interesting, the point where Daniel is terrified, and he calls him ish chamudos. That's very heartwarming, to be called an ish chamudos by a malach. I think it's very insightful. Such what the pasuk is telling us. And shalom loch gives him a bracha. There's peace to you. Chazak v'chazak v'dabri me. When he spoke to me, he's chazak. He strengthened me. V'oimra. And then Daniel says, okay, that's it. You've won me over. You've won me over. Speak, Adoni, ki chizak, Tony, you have strengthened me. The Mepharshim take note that the Malach strengthened him four times, four different expressions of strength. And in this pasuk alone, it says it four times. Chazak, v'chazak, chazak v'chazok, to be more accurate. Uvedabri imi his chazakti, that's number three. And number four is ki chizaktani, you have strengthened me. So there is discussion before the Gemara. I don't remember the Gemara, but the Gemara says there are four things which need chizk. I don't remember the four things. I think tefillah, maisim toivim, derech parnasa. I've got the fourth. It's a Gemara somewhere. The Gemara says there are four things that require chizuk, and some of the Mepharshim want to match the four things that need chizuk to these four expressions of chizuk here mentioned in this pasuk. I think it's interesting that when we finish Sefer Torah, a chumash, we say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, three times. Here, it's four. Now, it's not necessarily four. I don't know. So this is what I've seen in the Sfarim. But if you look at the pasuk really says three. He says over here, Shalom Lach Chazak v'Chazok uvedabroi imi his Chazakti. So only three times does it actually say that the Malach was mechazek Daniel, at least here in this pasuk. Then Daniel says, okay, I have accepted the chizuk. It says the word chizuk four times. But if you really look carefully at the pasuk, the chizuk that was given by the malach to Daniel was only three times. I mean, chazak, what? Chazak v'chazak. Uvedamri imi his chazakti. That's second.
That's Daniel talking.
That's right.
When he spoke with me, his chazakti, I strengthened myself. Okay, I strengthened myself. Okay.
He gave me strength, and now I've strengthened.
Okay, so let's then go back to pasuk yud ches. Let's take that angle. Okay, I'm trying to be a little creative here. In pasuk yud ches, vayosef.
It's called a perush.
Vayosef vayigabi kemari adam vayichas keni.
It's also
regular.
And he strengthened me. So I didn't strengthen myself.
His chazakti is I strengthened.
It's reflective on
his chazakti in pasuk yutes. His chazakti I strengthened myself. His chazakti I strengthened myself. I remember, like in pasuk.
It's a non-speaking.
In pasuk yud ches, it says vayosef vayigabi kemari adam vayichazkeni. He strengthened me.
So it's reflected from Daniel.
The malach is strengthening. The malach is strengthening Daniel. Vayichazkeni. Next.
Who's the speaker in that pasuk?
What? Daniel is speaking, but Daniel is revealing that the malach gave him strength. The malach gave him a dosage, injected him with strength. Vayosef vayigabi, he continued, he spoke to me, kemari adam vayichazkeni, and he strengthened me. The malach, in the malach, gave me, injected me with a dosage of strength.
Vayoyim. His chazakti.
I strengthened myself. There means I took what I was given to me in the past and I strengthened myself.
So,
I did it to myself. Pasuk Yutet says, "Vayim al tira ish hamudos shalom loch chazak v'chazok." Another double chizuk. Uvedaber imi, and when he spoke to me, so Daniel says about himself, his chazakti. Vayimer yidaber adliki chizak tonim, because you have given me the strength in the past. So I think if you look at these two psukim together and these two together, there are really three dosages of. Don't count the number of words. That's another approach. And sometimes the Midrashim do that. They count the words and they elaborate. But if you look very carefully, just at least in these two psukim, in this series, in this episode, this very specific, it appears there are three dosages of chizuk given by the malach to Daniel. Daniel accepts it and he uses it to strengthen himself. That would fit very well with our minhag, because our minhag is chazak chazak. The nischazek, three expressions. So that would fit very well with the minhag that we have three dosages corresponding to the three dosages of chizuk that the malach gave Daniel. Okay, I don't know how accurate this is. Everything in tefillah, we have to remember this. Everything in tefillah can be traced back to a pasuk in Tanakh, and it's not so easy sometimes where to find the psukim, and sometimes you find the psukim in the most bizarre places of Tanakh. You would never expect to find this pasuk, and wow, if you look very carefully, that expression or that theme is clearly reflected in the Nusach HaTfilah. So what's the connection? So we have to study and understand. But over here, I think there is something to it. There are three expressions of the Kumparshim do dwell upon this. The chizuk, we don't know exactly, have no clue what this means. A malach giving chizuk to a human being, to Daniel, and he says it three times. There are three dosages of chizuk over here in these two psukim, and we should take note that we have this expression when we finish Sefer Torah, chazak chazak v'nis chazek. Okay, let's go further. Pasik chach. Let's get an important rash over before we go further. So let's go over here. Let's just look at rash very quickly. Rashi pasik yutes. There is no rashi pasik yutes, and the mitzudos we can go further. Okay, pasik chach. Vayomer. So now, after finally, the malach strengthens Daniel to the point where Daniel is able to stand, to be awake, and to see the vision that was presented, which is going to be extremely complicated. That's the next parak. But in the meantime, Vayomer Hayadata, the malach says to Daniel, "Do you know lama bosi lecha? Why I have come to you? Why do you know why I'm coming to you?" That's, now he doesn't say more than that. Let's right away see. Let's over here right away jump to the mitzvah. That's David pasuk chaf hayadata ha'im yodata lama basi elech uchoimer lo. It's as if the malach says hine me'ata. It's a rhetorical question. Do you know why? You will in a few moments know why. I'm not going to lay out for you all the details, but as you see the vision, then you will become aware of why I'm coming to you. Hine me'ata tuchal lodas, you will soon be able to understand, shlei basi lasos imcha ra, I'm not coming to cause you harm, kiim legalos lecha, to reveal to you, matzpune mistarim, the great hidden secrets, v'loi techrad od, and you will no longer need to be afraid. Don't think I'm coming to cause you harm, I'm coming to reveal to you secrets, and with the knowledge of these secrets, you will be able to prepare Klal Yisrael for the future that awaits them. Now I only can be with you for a short period of time because now I will return, meaning in a few moments after I reveal to you what you need to know, to return and resume the battle, the next round of battle with the guardian angel of Paras, va'ani yotze, but I want to let you know something. After I leave, after I finish the battle with Paras, v'hine sar yavon ba, the sar of Greece, the guardian angel of Greece will come, and I'm sorry to let you know that I'm not going to be able to be of any assistance in the next of the four Golios, the Golos of Yavon. Now let's see the Mitzudos, and then we'll come explain this a little bit more. The Mitzudos David Pasek Chav, V'yato Ashuv, Kishe'echle Ledaber Bach, when I conclude speaking to you, Ashuv Lilochim Mitzar Paras, I will return to fight more with the guardian angel of Paras. Remember, then he told them the reason why I did not come for 21 days is because I was busy fighting. And the only reason why now I'm able to break away and come to you and speak to you is because someone took over my shift. The Malach Michoel came to assist me. So the Tsar of Paras is not alone. We can't trust him to be there alone in heaven. If he's all alone with the heavenly abode, who knows the harm he can bring upon Klal Yisrael. But now that I got an assistant, someone to relieve me for a few moments, Michoel, I'm able to come and speak to you and tell you some important matters. But I can't leave Michoel there for long. Michoel has other things to take care of. So I have to return, go back, and resume the battle with the guardian angel of Paras. Vani yoytze, ko'imer. This means to say, hein yodati, next words in the Mitzvah David, ki uchalo, do you know that I am confident I will be able to prevail upon the guardian angel of Paras, va'anatseach, I will prevail, I will win the battle as Sar Paras Avol Teidan. These are very scary, powerful words here, but you should be aware. Ki li achar zeh, after the Malchus of Paras comes to an end, Bal Korchoch Eitze, I will be forced to leave the heavenly abode. V'loi uchal o lelamed sagei sanegorio, I'll not be able to be your advocate to teach any defense on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Al Yisrael. Ki yirbu pishayhem, because there will be many sins, the Jewish people will sin terribly. V'hinei sar yavon ba, v'shoyel, and this sar will ask, will make a request in Shemayim, sheyim shlo yavon al yishol, that he shall rule, and guess what? V'tinosin lo, and his request will be granted. And I will not be able to do anything, because that will already be a new generation, and you, Daniel, at that point already will have passed, you will have died, they will not be leaders and tzaddikim living in this world that will be able to be of assistance to the malachim in Shemayim. And in that generation, the Jewish people will not be on the caliber that they are in this generation. And the Tsar Shel Yavon will have much more power than the Tsar Shel Paras. Now let's see Rashi. Then we'll do the pasuk just to sum up what's going on over here. Rashi pasuk chaf. And now, I know ki uchal. Say, these are the mitzvahs just really just elaborates the words of Rashi. I know, I am confident that I will prevail. Ach, ki bo es malchus Antiochus. But when will come the malchus of Antiochus, one of, we'll see that, one of the kings one of the kings of Yavon, Yodati Shani Eitzei, I will have to leave. Vehu Yikone Sliachar Lamidalit Shana Lebinyan Habayis. After 34 years into the Binyan Bayis Sheni, the Malchus of Paras will come to an end. Alexander the Great will prevail. He will conquer the civilized world. Alexander the Great will die. And there will be, his Malchus will be divided among four of his generals. And from the four, the only two which really count are going to be the general who rules Syria, which is Antiochus, and the general that will rule Egypt, Mitzrayim. And for the next 100 and something years, they will be at constant war between each other, between the king of Syria, Antiochus, and the kings, the whole line of kings who control Egypt and that region. They will be at war. And what is the war all about? Who has control over Eretz Yisrael? It's amazing how history repeats itself. How, let's go back 1,000 years, time of the Crusades, 900 years. What are the Crusades all about? It's the Muslims fighting the Christians. Who has control over Eretz Yisrael? That's really what it's all about. Who has control? Okay, obviously there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of money involved, there's a lot of politics, and there's a lot, but a lot of it comes down to who has control over Eretz Yisrael. Here, in this time period, during 180 years of the Bayis Sheni, there are four major rulers of the world, but two of them are fighting, are at each other's throats, the Seleucid Kingdom in the north, and the Egyptian Ptolemaic, all the whole dynasty, Ptolemy 1, 2, 3, 4, the whole long line of them, they're all fighting and killing each other. And it all boils down to what's the boundary between the Seleucid Kingdom and the Egyptian is, what's the crossroads? The boundary is Eretz Yisrael. Is it going to be part of Egypt or is it going to be part of Syria? Fighting back and forth. And that's going to really be the next parak.
It was the same thing previously with Egypt and the Assyrians. Right. They were fighting over Eretz Yisrael.
Or Israel, Egypt is even going back further. So another, it's always this... this parallel, going back time of the Bayis Rishon, time of Chizkiyahu, correct. During time of Chizkiyahu, they're always fighting who has control. So we see this history repeats itself. But here, he's telling him, let's just finish up the Rosh Rashi, V'hu yikonis liach alami dalit shon, l'binyin habayis, v'shiyamud Alexandros Mokdon. After 34 years into the Bayis Sheni, Alexander the Great, otherwise known as Alexander of Macedonia, even though during that period of time the Jewish people were under the control of the Persians, avoda nocha of the Bohem, it was easy, it was pleasant. They were pleasant to the Jews. In fact, Daryovesh was the son of Esther Hamalka, and through her influence, the Jews had it easy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused, influenced them to have mercy upon the Jewish people. Why? Because of what we're learning right now. Because here in Shamayim, Gavriel, with the assistance of Michael, is prevailing upon the Sar Shel Paras. Whatever happens in Shamayim trickles down to this world. Avol Malchus Yavon was not so pleasant. Hitilu Alehem Oil Kosha, a heavy yoke, and that is exactly what this pasuk here is telling us, that the hard days are coming ahead because I'm not going to be able to be of assistance to you because it's going to be a new generation. Iskatnu hadas. Let's review this pasuk one more time. Pasuk chav. Vayomer. Now that you've calmed down, Daniel, you're calm. You're no longer afraid of me. Let's get to business. Vayomer. Hayadata lama basi elecha. Now do you know why I've come to you? I'm not coming to harm you. I'm coming to tell you things that you have to know. And the reason why you have to know is because you have to prepare the generation. Go back to your people and give them mussar and let them know what's coming to prepare for the long days. V'ata shuv. And I only have a short time to speak to you because there's a lot of things going on in heaven. I got to get back there to continue the battle. V'ata now oshuv li'lochim imitzar paras. But don't worry, things are going good. For 21 days, I was winning. I'm just taking a little break now. But I got bad news to tell you. This battle of Paras is going to come to an end. And during the time of Malchus of Paras, the Jewish people, relatively speaking, did not suffer very much. We were threatened with genocide from Haman, Achashverosh. But Baruch Hashem, that passed. But Vani Yoitze, I'm not going to be able to stay much longer. I'm going to have to leave. Hine Sar Yavon Ba. And when Sar Yavon comes, it's not going to be pretty. Pasuk Chof Aleph. Avol. Yeah.
Is the Mitzvah's explanation?
Yes.
Yabu Pesheya. Does that mean between when Paras takes over and Yavon is there? I mean, is it a future prediction of wickedness, or is it that the Gavriel was able to delay the punishment?
No, and it seems it's new sins. It appears that it's a prediction that there are going to be new sins, that the Jewish people are on a steady decline. Obviously, this Bechir Chavsh, how can you say that they're going to sin? Only Hashem knows that if every person can control his destiny, you have Bechir Chavshas. But it appears that the situation in Klal Yisrael was such that they were on a path of steady decline. And if things continue the way they are, right now you still have schusim. There's still yira shamayim. People are doing mitzvos. They're not, the sins are not so great. But you can already get a taste of where things are heading. And if you continue down this path, then in 100 years from now, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
So
there's going to be assimilation. Yeah? What?
Real telling. Daniel, this is irreversible.
No, it's not. There's no such thing as it being irreversible. That there's no such thing. That goes against every hashkafa, Musa Sefer, and
it says
a concept.
It
means it'll be more difficult. The way things are going, you will be given over into their hands. But it's not reversible. It doesn't mean that it's sealed in blood. It means we got a problem here. Houston, we're in trouble. Yeah.
Although during the era of Paras, we see that the Jewish people did tshuva, and then there's the kibbu, the kibbu aspect of it.
Look, Hanukkah miracle, they did tshuva.
Okay, but in between that, but during the Greek era, things were going.
It slided.
Not so much during
Paras. Well, during Paras, they had derived benefit from the Sudas HaShverosh.
Right,
that was a terrible sin. They did Shuva. Leich Kinos Kol HaYehudim Minar V'Ad Zokain. But things were not too good either. It was only because they did Shuva. But things were on a steady decline, and Malach is predicting by the time you get around to the Malachus of Yavon, you're in a lot of trouble. The Daniel's not going to be there. You're not going to have a tzaddik in this world guarding and influencing the Jewish people, and they're going to sin, and there's going to be a lot of trouble. Let's say pasuk chaval aval agid lecha. I will tell you. Now this is a very difficult pasuk. It's not going to be good. Nevertheless, let me tell you what's going to happen. Aval agid lecha. I will tell you es harashum bichsav emes. A very unusual expression. We'll discuss in a few moments. Let me tell you what is inscribed. Roshu means inscribed. It's written. It's etched. It's bichsav in a document that is MS. That is true. Now, is there a document that's not true? What does that mean, especially in heaven? Okay, we'll see that in a few moments. But let me tell you what's written in the heavenly. In the heavenly courts, what's written in the books? And I want to let you know that there's no one that is helping me. I'm all alone. I'm just like you, Daniel. You are, like we learned yesterday, Daniel said about himself, Ani nisharti levadi. I'm all alone. I'm all alone here. Even my good friends, Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi, the Nevi'im, the last of the Nevi'im, were terrified. They ran away. Daniel complained about himself, I'm all alone. But Malach says, I'm also all alone. Why is he telling him this? I don't know. But ve'ein echad mischazek imi, the Malach Gavriel says to Daniel, there is no one in heaven that is mischazek imi, strengthens me, encourages me, helps me, is with me in these hard times, al-Ela, concerning these terrible matters that are being discussed and being planned in heaven concerning the hardships that will come upon the Jewish people. Ki im Michael Sarchem, except for Michael, who is the very unusual expression, Sarchem, who is your guardian angel. Every single nation has a guardian. There are 70 nations today in the United Nations. How many nations are there in the United Nations? How many?
193.
Members. But those members, yeah. Members and non-observing members? And there are 193 members. Fine. Somehow those 193 are all broken down into 70. I don't know how this works, but Chazal tell us the world is made up of 70 nations. Each nation has in heaven one representative. And in fact, if you look at the various midrashim, their names are given. Who is the guardian angel of Klal Yisrael? So the truth is, we don't need a guardian angel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, we are above and beyond the way the world works. The world works through these guardian angels. We do not need a guardian angel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself protects us and takes care of our needs. But yet, at times, and we don't know how this works, we do have a representative, and the name of our representative is Michal. How do you know this? Is this Kabbalah? Is this Zohar? Is this some esoteric Zil HaMalach? Here, it's in this pasuk. This pasuk. It's not from the Rezil HaMalach, that safer you buy in micro print and you put in your bookcase. It says here, Ki im Michael Sarchem. Michael is the guardian angel of the Jewish people. And every nation, and therefore the only one that's Gavriel is not the guardian angel of the Jewish people, but Gavriel over here is here. But these Malachim and Shemayim are working together to fight off the harmful influence of the Sar Shel Paras that's trying very hard to overcome and to control the Klal Yisrael. Now there are a few important things. Let's just see the mitzudos.
Are you talking about when the two Malachim are fighting?
Yeah.
Are they fighting verbally or are they fighting literally?
Like, we don't know what this means. Last week's parasha. Vayeovek ish imoy ad alois hashocha. Yaakov Avinu, he returns to retrieve the pachim ketanim and he meets the Sar Shel Esav. And they wrestle. They wrestle the entire evening and then in the morning, vayaki lo yocholo vayiga bekaf hayorech. What does that mean? Does anyone know what that means? I don't know. No, I don't think anyone would know what that means. Does it mean there was a physical wrestling? And he actually...
It talks about the dust of the earth.
The dust, akisa kavod, we don't know what these things mean. So we assume it refers to a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle somehow trickles down to this world, somehow. There is stuff, and therefore Yaakov Avinu, it appears that physically was limping. When this thing was over, he was limping. Did he actually wrestle with a human being, with the image of a human being? I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. It's not necessarily meant for us to understand what this means. Same exact thing. Okay, we don't know what this means. All we know is that in Shemayim, everything that happens in this world is only a reflection of what is happening in heaven. And what happens in heaven is only a reflection of our Maisim Tovim and our deeds. If we are good people, if we do Tzedaka, Chesed, Torah, all of the good things, then in Shemayim there is more power given to us and our advocates in heaven, Michael, Gavriel, and other heavenly forces can advocate on our behalf, and Shemayim, the Bez and Shomayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, will give more power to Klal Yisrael. And then there will be a trickle-down effect here in this world where we will be successful. We will not have the tsaris of the Umos Olam that they tried to bring upon us.
Did it make a difference that in Israel and not in Eretz Israel at this time? That's why they were able to. That's why Malachim were able to defeat the Tsar of Rus.
I don't know if it makes it. I hear what you're saying. You say that we only find these Malachim in Tanakh. We find them more when Klal Yisrael are not living on their land. So when Klal Yisrael are living on their land, maybe it's different. Maybe it's not a matter of a. I don't know. I have no idea. But seemingly, it doesn't make a difference because this Purim miracle and the Hanukkah miracle all took place when Klal Yisrael were living in Eretz Yisrael, and we're dealing here with the Sar Shel Yavan. So I don't know. Similarly, this concept of the princes, the guardian angels, doesn't make a difference whether we're living in Eretz Yisrael or living in Chutz Eretz. Like, for example, we have the dreidel coming up Hanukkah. So we'll talk about that later on, the dreidel. So one of the concepts in the B'nai Yisachar is when you spin the dreidel, and there's an expression that when you spin the dreidel here on this world, in Shemayim, there's a Yiddish expression, I don't know what it is, but when you spin it here on this world, then in Shemayim, they're also spinning. They're also doing things. It's a Hasidish type, because what does it mean? When you do what you're supposed to do on this world, when you do tshuva, when you tztaka, Torah, chesed, ma'asim tovim, that is symbolic of spinning. You're working on yourself. You're functioning. Then, in Shemayim, things are happening. They are malachim. They are advocating on your behalf. There are gezeros tovos, besoros tovos, and things like that which are happening. You know, in the world of Nevuah, you have this all over. You have all this over in Sefer Malachim, where a prophet, he does something symbolic to bring about a prediction. A malach will take a garment and rip the garment. Not a malach, a navi. A navi will rip a garment. A navi. So when the navi rips the garment, that is symbolic that your malchus, the garment represents your power, your kingship. A king wears special garments. If I rip it, it means your malchus is coming to an end. It's all over. All over. Everything that's done is symbolic. Now, it's the same idea. You spin the dreidel, it's about do what you're supposed to do. Work on yourself. Rouse yourself up. When you do something here on this world that has an effect, that puts a force, like a physical force, a force in Shemayim to bring about good things for yourself, for your family, for Klal Yisrael. But let's see over here, see the Mesudas Dov and Rashi, and just a few little things I wanted to discuss. Okay, so we have over here, let's just finish up the Sudos, is Pasuk Chof Aleph. Okay, Pasuk Chof Aleph es Harashum. So now Daniel, the Malach says to Daniel, soon things are going to change. The Malach of Yavon is going to change. I'm not going to be of assistance. But let me at least tell you what is going to happen. Es Harashum, es Hakosa b'morim, what's written in heaven, b'chsav emes, asher yiskayim, which will be fulfilled b'chol yishuneh.
And
Beval Yeshuneh, and it cannot be changed. Beval Yeshuneh, it cannot be changed. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and it's Roshum Emes. This is the way it's going to be. There's no going back. For who Amar Lamata? What is that? What is he referring to? Referring to the next parak, Parak Yud Al, one of the hardest parakim. For Amar Lamata, Me'avdan Hamalchus VeGulas Yisrael, the Churban of the kingdoms, that eventually the Malchus of Yavon will self-destruct due to all the wars, the civil wars, and Klal Yisrael will merit redemption. V'ein echad ein mi min hamalachim mischazik liyosimi be'ezrasi lishol levakesh al eila hadvarim ha'imrim ha'amurim lamata concerning the churban of the nations of the world and the gula of Klal Yisrael evden hamalchus al gula Yisrael ki michol tzarchem. The only one that wants to be your advocate is Michoel, Rak Michoel Sar Visanegar Shal Yisrael Hu Mischazikim L'Shal Alila, to make a request. What's going to be? What is going to be the future of Klal Yisrael? What can we do to ensure their survival? Okay, Rashi.
Does this answer Mr. Rappaport's question here? The Shal Hakesh is a debate rather than a physical fight.
Okay, could be. Yeah. Seemingly, yeah. It's a debate. Fine, yeah. Pasuk Chafalaf and Rashi es Haroshum Chsavem es Shtar Hagzera. The document which contains the edict, the decree, the harsh decree, the MSC, it's true. The Ein Echad B'chol Hasarim Holyonim Mischazek LaAzreini Al Kolela Kiim, like it says in Michol Sarchem. Now, what's the purpose of this? What exactly is Gavriel telling Daniel? Paras will be okay. I'm going to be there for you. I'm together with Michoel, and we're going to make sure we guarantee you'll survive. We're going to be there. The Sarshal Paras, he's making trouble. We'll take care of him. But I got bad news to tell you. After Paras leaves and we're out, there's going to be a new enemy in heaven, the Tsar shel Yavan. And Daniel, sorry to tell you, I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm not going to be allowed into Shemayim to debate with the Tsar shel Yavan. So it's bad news. Because at that point in time, the trajectory of Klal Yisrael is not good. And you're going to have big trouble. But the very least, let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you about the Tsaris. About what's going to happen during that period of time. Why? Why bother knowing? So the answer given by Lama Farshim is, it's a chatzi nechama to know what's coming, to know how to deal with it. The person never has to go through some medical procedure, chas v'shalom. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, this is what's going to happen. We're going to do this, and then we're going to wait, and then we're going to do this, and then this is going to happen, that's going to happen. If you know what to expect, if you know the process, it's not a good process, it's not comfortable, it's not pleasant, it's very painful. But if in the back of your mind you know what's going to happen, that lightens, that dulls the fear and the pain of what you will have to endure.
So he's learn to deal with it.
You could learn to deal with it. So he's giving of what here, what the Malach Gavril is doing, is an incredible, incredible bracha. He's telling him in the next parak, parak Yud Aleph, in great detail. The detail is incredible. And these things didn't happen yet. And when you trace history, you could see every single thing that he said happened exactly the way it says it. Yeah.
Another thing, this parak starts with Daniel worried about, you know, Gula should have come already, and I don't know what's going on. So here, at least, he is being told there is a plan. It's on schedule, and don't worry. And that's right.
Besides the 70-year calculation, is also being revealed the entire process of Gula, and it's a very long process and a very painful process. But it's a chatzi nechama to be made aware of what will occur throughout the next long period of time, and that is an incredible chesed and bracha that Gavriel is giving over to Daniel. And what is Daniel doing with this? He's relaying this to Klal Yisrael. Write this down for forever, posterity. You'll have this record, and you'll be able to look at it. And when you find yourself in an ace tzara, you'll know what's coming next, and you'll be able to deal with it. Yeah.
But no tshuva.
Of course, tshuva.
But he's telling me to pay the complete concern.
Okay, so let me read you a medrash. The medrash over here says, the medrash Tanchuma. Okay, you can't go wrong with the medrash Tanchuma. Okay, it's Sadi Vav. Parasha Sav, I'm sorry, not Sav, Parasha Sav, Hey. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah.
Sav, Hey. And it also says this in others, Seder Oilam, Rabo, Chavches, Psik, Chadasa, similar. And what he basically, I'll read you the words very quickly, okay, you don't have it in front of you. He went to a certain city. Name of the city is Simonia. Yosikob ben Oyel Lekrasa. Big Shulman is Zakinechot Chacham. Me Torah Nasan Lohem as Rabbi Levi Bar Sisi. They asked a certain chacham came and asked him the following question. What was the question that he asked him? Rebbe, Mahu Shekosov Bidoniel, what does the meaning Doniel? This was the question that was asked of Rebbe. Avul Agid Lecha Es Harashum Bichsav Emes. I will reveal to you what's written, Roshum, what has been inscribed in this document of Emes. V'chiyesh Devar Sheker B'Torah? Is there sheker? There's a ksav that's emes, and there's a ksav that's sheker. That's what it implies. So I'm going to tell you in heaven what it says in the ksav emes, and I'm not going to tell you what it says in the ksav sheker. What? Is there in heaven a ksav sheker? It's the olam ha-emes. Everything is only true. So what does it mean then? What then does this pasuk imply with these words, emes? I want to get to the part that we need. So he told him the answer is, Rebbe said this the answer. When a person sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roshem Olav Misa. When a person sins, So in heaven, the heavenly court, they write a document, he's chayev misa. He has to suffer for his sins. But in masa tshuva, but if he does tshuva, then haksov mispatel, through the koyach of tshuva, the decree, the gzera is batel. Memela, every decree in heaven that's written about a person is really a ksav sheker. That's what the Medrash says. Being subject to change, being that a person always has an option of doing tshuva, there's always an option of doing tshuva, therefore every ksav in heaven is always sheker. But potentially called sheker. Nimso haksav einash lemes, but im lo yasa tshuva, but if you don't do tshuva, then it's going to be called nimso harosham b'chsav emes. So what he's basically saying is, it's not really 100% clear, but he's basically saying is that it's roshon b'chsav emes, that he's alluding, it's not permanent. You have an opportunity to annul the gezerah. When the malach, that's exactly your point, the malach is telling Daniel, let me tell you what it says in the ksav emes. What's roshom in the ksav emes? What does he mean to say? Emes and not sheker. But there is sheker. It doesn't have to be emes. It can be sheker if you want. It will only be emes if you don't do tshuva. I'm now going to tell you, in the next parak, the horrors of Golas. I'm going to tell you what's going to occur during the Malchus of Yavon, all the wars, and how the Jewish people are going to be caught in the crossfire, and the terrible things that are going to happen. And all of this is the Ksav Emes. But it's only going to be Emes retrospectively if you don't do tshuva. But if you will do tshuva, then it won't be Emes, it will be Sheker. So when he's saying Emes, he's alluding, it's a strange type of vart, but he's alluding that it doesn't have to be like this. It will only be MS if you will not do tshuva. But if you will do tshuva, then what's being written down will be b'chsov sheker. That is how the Medrash puts a very nice twist on the pasuk. You would think that from just at face value that it's irrevocable. It's ksav emes. So the Medrash is saying just the opposite. You would think that it's written b'chsav emes. It's emes. It's sealed in blood. There's nothing you can possibly do. This is the way it's going to be. It's going to be churban. The Medrash Tanchuma says just the opposite. Because it says emes, it's alluding that there's something called the ksav sheker. And it only will be MS if you let it be MS. But if you don't want it to be MS, I'm giving you the option of allowing what's written in heaven to be called the Ksav Sheker through your tshuva. Now it's a little bit backwards. It's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra, but that's what the Medrash says. That's what the Medrash says. I'm not making this up, and that's what the Pesikta says, exactly the same thing. That said, we're adding this word, it will only be MS retrospectively, but not does not have to be like that. Okay, now we go to the beginning of paragraph. Let's just start with the beginning of paragraph because we're going very slow.
How is this more insightful from Daniel to tell the people in the future than what the Torah itself tells us about what will happen if you do not follow the Hashem?
He's giving much more detail. It's an elaboration.
The detail in the Torah tells you what's going to happen to the people. I mean,
More general. This is even greater detail. The details over here are with the North King and the King of the South and the alliances and this war and that war and all these fights. There's just much more detail. They can relate to it they can relate to it in much more detail. Okay, let's just start very quickly. Now, the one that is speaking. Now, the truth is, there is no need for there to be a break. This is a continuation of the speech of the Malach, and a lot of the Mefarshim are very critical why there is a chapter break. There's no need. This is right smack in the middle of the speech of the Malach is giving Daniel, and all of a sudden, from you would say, oh, there's a new prophecy, new vision. No, we're continuing. He's telling him now, there's no one there in heaven that's willing to help me except for
the question.
Perek. Why is it new? So the Christians, this the parakim were made by the printers, by non-Jewish printers who were not familiar or deliberately chose to ignore, either Amaratzim or they deliberately chose to reject. What?
But there's also a Samachia, that means that there was a break. And then
there's a pay here, it's a parsha break, right? But there are many. But there are many parsha breaks which do not cause us to make chapters.
No, that's right. I'm just saying.
Hey, but that's an old thing. That's an old thing that the prokim in Tanakh, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Lachem Aleph, these are all printer innovations. It's not, the prokim are not from Jewish sources. It's a convention which. That's the way it is. It's not going anywhere. We're stuck with it. And we refer, the way you refer to a pasuk is Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, no matter what. But it does not necessarily reflect that it's a new inyan.
It doesn't go on. The Samach means there's a pause.
Yes, there's a pause. There is a slight pause, right. There is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an entirely new inyan.
No, it's an entirely different thing.
Correct. Let's do one or two psukim. Low. It was I. So the Malach says that when the king Daryovish Hamodai, after Hamodi, what?
I'm setting the grammatical records straight.
Hamodi, Omdi lemachazik ulemoz lo. Now lo here, according to many of the Mefarshim, refers to the Daryovish Hamodi, because Daryovish Hamodi was good. According to many, to the Jewish people, after the fall of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was killed. Not Nebuchadnezzar, the Malchus of Babel came to a sudden, abrupt end with a servant decapitating the head of Belshazzar. There were basically three rulers to the Malchus of Babel. 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar took the throne until his Malchus came to an end. Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and 3 years of Belshazzar. In the third year of Belshazzar, he made a party celebrating the fact that Jewish people are going to remain in Golus forever. He took out the Kehel of Beis HaMikdash. A hand came from heaven and began writing something on the wall. Daniel was summoned and he read the handwriting on the wall. Menei, menei, tekalu parsin. Your malchus will come to an end very soon. One of the servants heard this. He knew that Daniel, everything that he said was emes. He took the law into his own hands. He took out his sword and he chopped off the head of Belshazzar. They took the head outside to the king of Daryovish Hamadi, who was at war with Nebuchadnezzar. Look what we got for you. We have here the head of Belshazzar. Would you like to? The king Belshazzar is dead. They immediately came into the palace and they took control of the government. This king Daryovish was favorable to the Jews. He right away elevated Daniel to a very great position of royalty, and he was good to the Jews, and they were planning to do good things. And so here the Malach Gavriel says that when Daryovish came to power, I went to Shemayim, I went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I said, make sure Daryovish lives long. Make sure Daryovish is successful as Matzliach, because this kingdom, Modai, will be good to the Jews. So that's Vani Bishnas Achas L'Daryovish HaModi. The Malach Daniel says, on the I stood, L'machazik, to be a strength, U'lemo'oz, a fortress low. For Daryovish, I was advocating on his behalf that he should live long, because this king, this world leader, will be good for the Jews. Since all these questions, is the king president, is he good for the Jews? Is he not? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Good for the Jews. It comes from Gavriel the Malach. Gavriel the Malach says, I was his advocate when he took office, because he's going to be good law. That's one approach. Let's look at the Mitzudos, David. I think he says different than I just quoted from the other Mepharsh. Look what he says. Vani. Who did we Malach? Vani, don't be misled. Vani is a continuation of the previous chapter. The one that is speaking is the Malach Gavriel. On the Amarati Lamachzik Lamoz Lemichol. Now, I told you another interpretation. I told you another interpretation, which we'll get to in a few moments. But the Mitzudos is telling us an entirely different interpretation. I was Mechazik Michoel. This pasuk is a direct continuation of the previous pasuk. The only one that wanted to advocate on behalf of the Jewish people during the advocate on behalf of the Jewish people was Michoel. I was Mechazik. mechazek michoel. I was the masik lemos. Who is the low? The low in this pasuk is, according to the mitzudos, lemichoel sarchem bedvar hashaila shershol v'hu loy perash shema hoisa hashaila. He did not explain v'ula shol sheikach koresh es hamalucha v'yishlach es shol la'artzam v'hu. Now it's not telling us the details, but the details that there's more to the story according to the mitzudos that Michoel made a request. He made a request of the Pamalia Shalmaila that Modai. Now, according to the Mitzudos, it's not just Modai. It's Modai together with Paras. The two go together, as we learn many times, because who took over after Modai? Koresh, his son-in-law, took over. So we put the two together, and the request was that Koresh should issue an edict to allow the Jewish people to return to their land. That was the request. And I went and strengthened the request. So basically, what some people, the Mitzvot is saying is that the Malach Gavriel, the Malach Michoel, at the time when Daryavesh came to power, he was in an alliance together with Koresh, and the Malach Gavriel said to the Pamalia Shamaila, may it be your will, that you influence it, just trickle down to this lower world here, that Koresh should give permission for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And in Shemayim, they were not so hot on this request. It was a request, it was filed, it was put aside, bottom of the papers. So I came there, I got real said, what's with that request of Michoel? Michoel, I heard he made a very nice request. He filed a report, a request that the Jewish people be given permission to return to Eretz Yisrael. I heard that Michoel's request was filed away for a later time. Let's look it over again. And I didn't take... What?
Freedom of information.
I didn't take no for an answer. And they pulled it out from under the pile and they reviewed it again. And I bothered them, I badgered them. And they finally acquiesced. Okay, we're going to grant the request in a year from now after the death of Daryavish, when Paras, Koresh, takes over. We'll have a trickle-down effect in heaven. We're going to cause that here on this world, Koresh will give permission to Jewish people. This is the way the Mitzudos learns Pshat in this Pasuk, the continuation of the good guy in heaven, Michoel. I helped him out. Michoel made a request. They were not so keen to listen to his request. I pushed it through, and I got results. I got results, and that's what the Malach is telling Daniel. And we'll stop with this for now.